Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's got to 2-2 and we've still got more than half an hour to go, and here's Ozil, Lacazette, Ozil!
Yo!
Could it went left, but it went right. Could it went wrong, but it went right. Said it was Ian, but it went right.
Now we've got
bars on bars on site. MVP in the night, get a negative to positive.
We're heading for a classic in the paper. Final.
Man could have had that fight, but I'm in walk on sight. Man had to grab that mic. You're not gonna spit this time. Trying to work with a good energy. Man gonna work with a bad man vibe. None of these guys can't do
that. It's amazing.
Like,
it's Aaron Ramsey.
My shine. That's foul. Man,
that's
offside.
The response of Arsenal.
Man crossed the line. Score for my team in the time I play. Where better know when man's
Chelsea
inside. Man
can't say I get simply floor, but you can ask lost their focus in the joy of equalizing.
Hello, welcome to another Touchy Gooners podcast. My name's Lewis. I'm joined by Sheldon and Dr. Lee. How are you doing, gentlemen?
Hey, I'm happy. I can't lie to you. You know what? I wouldn't say happy. I'm peaceful. Nice weekend. I was like, Sunday night, you know when you tuck up in bed and you're like, because obviously after the AJ loss, I was a bit rattled.
Yeah. I was going to say.
I slept well Sunday, man. And that's the first time in a while. And then I woke up, I looked at my phone, there's nothing in the Touchy Gooners chat. One arguing about nonsense.
No crisis.
People bro. Can't sleep and that up at 2 a.m. scouting and I wake up and there's just bad drama in the group and everyone's calling each other cunts and stuff. No one agrees. It's a good time.
You know, it's so mad because Sel was saying as well, this is like the first time there's been peace in like 10 months in the Touchy Gooners group chat. It said the last 2 weeks has actually been quite peaceful, bro.
It has. You know, we haven't had drama. A bad result for a while. So, listen, long may it continue.
Enjoy it while it lasts, man.
So we said, what did we say? We said last week, right, when we did the pod, we said if we beat Spurs, nothing but positive vibes. That's all we're on. Nothing but positive vibes. So we're going to park. I mean, listen. We're objective, right? We're not going to be all, you know, it's all sunshine and glory and all these things, you know, like we're going to be objective still. But hey, let's enjoy this moment because as Arsenal fans, we've not had much go our way recently, right? In the last fucking decade or so. So yeah, let's bask in the moment and let's just enjoy these wins as we get them. Because if you can't celebrate and be happy about thumping up Spurs in a North London derby, then what's the point of being a football fan? You know, you've got to enjoy these moments. And you know what? I'm with you guys. On Sunday, I really enjoyed Sunday. I really, really enjoyed Sunday. And like you said, Leroy, after that AJ loss, I was like devastated, absolutely devastated. And, you know, I needed something to mend me. And I went into the North London derby, and I just finished work. I finished work about like 3:30. I was like, at my desk, and I was sort of like, you know, I had a late night because of the AJ fight. I didn't get home until like 2 o'clock in the morning. I was up early. I was like, you know what? Should I just go to bed? I'll just like catch the highlights later. Do you know what I mean? I was so not fussed about the game. And then something in me just said, you know what? Just watch the first 20 minutes. Watch the first 20 minutes. And then decide from there how you want to go. Is it going to ruin you? Is it going to ruin? Well, not ruin. My weekend was kind of already ruined because of AJ. But, you know, is it going to put an improvement on the weekend? Or is your weekend just going to go to fucking hell? And you know what? It was the best decision I ever made. You know, because those first 20 minutes were fantastic, weren't they? You know, I think we were like 2-0 up or something inside 20 minutes. But yeah, man.
I mean, word on the street is Tobes has already left by then. So
that's true. That is true. He's still on his way back now, I heard. But
he's still walking back from the Emirates.
Yeah. Well, listen, it was a great day, and I am glad that I persevered and I kept the game on because the performance, but mainly the first half. Listen, that second half performance is not going to get any Hall of Fame awards, is it? It's not going to go down as in the history books as this great dominating display. But I thought the first half was there was a lot to take from it. And a lot of positives to take from it. And just a lot of stuff to be happy about in general. I'll start with like what you guys' favorite moment of the game was. Sean, I'll come to you first. What was like your highlight of the game?
I don't know if there's one specific moment. I just enjoyed it all, specifically the first half. I think for me, I'm sure probably we'll get onto this, like what was interesting to note from like a tactical perspective as well is I think this is the first time, obviously, this season that we got to see what Arteta perceives to be his first 11. Do you know what I mean? So we've been on him, and I think rightly so. But obviously, you can always probably caveat it that, you know, you haven't had the team that you'd ideally like to pick. So this was pretty much full strength for him. It was full strength. This was the team he would pick. So It was interesting to note from a tactical perspective. Obviously, you've got Tomiyasu who tucks in, Tini who pushes up high and build up, which obviously pushes ESR inside. So with Xhaka, Partey, ESR and Odegaard, you've got kind of like a little box. And obviously Odegaard drifts to the right because, you know, Saka's a bit isolated on that side, so he needs a bit of support. So you can start to pick up small tactical nuances from what had happened. In terms of the shape and how it looks in and out of possession, so I thought overall it looked solid. Obviously what I would like to do, especially going forward, is just to see, well, we can't see it now because Xhaka's out, but I would have liked to have seen that team consistently for the next five matches just so we can ascertain its level properly, because I think that's probably one thing we haven't been able to do. I want to see Arteta's first 11 for like a five game stretch so we can probably take from it, you know, what's good, what's not good, what needs to be improved, where can we improve from a personnel perspective as well. So overall great win. Very, very happy.
Dr. Lee, were you a bit surprised that Xhaka started the game? Obviously he'd missed several weeks, you know. Was he injured as well, or did he have like
COVID?
Obviously had the suspension and all of that. Were you a bit surprised that he comes straight back in?
No, not at all. I predicted he was to come straight back in. Xhaka is one of the mainstays in the team. He's one of Arteta's favourite players. He's one of Arteta's leaders on the pitch. So I pretty much assumed he would come straight back in as soon as available. And he's obviously usually quite a fit guy. So I didn't really expect him to need minutes to get up to speed or anything like that. He had a lot of bozo moments, like, as he does. But this is going to be an unpopular opinion, especially amongst us lot. I think he's really important. And the reason I think he's really important is even though Partey does everything he does but better, I keep coming back to this. I the way Arteta wants to play, I think it's really important we have two players who can progress the ball in midfield. And it's not left down to one player who can easily be marked. I mean, I know it's difficult with Partey because he's got so many tricks up his sleeve. He can step out, he can dribble people, he's press resistant and stuff. But when you have two people who are really decent at progressing the ball, it just gives you so much variety in your attack. And you really see the difference. And Xhaka, even though like he's got a lot of flaws, I can kind of see why Arteta really goes with him. And that Xhaka Partey midfield, I can kind of see why it works as well. And if you probably noticed, Xhaka didn't play this game like... He actually played it in midfield. He didn't actually go back and sit back in his line-back three slot because we had Tomiyasu making up the back three in that 3-2-5, sorry. And Xhaka was actually in midfield, which was a little bit different than what he's been doing previously. So he's injured now, so we can talk about that. But it was a kind of an interesting thing that we saw, and I would like to see it, particularly against teams that are going to sit in and have low blocks, to see, does that then give us a platform to again break them down? Does that give that the platform to actually be creative against teams that we haven't been creative against so far? But we're not going to get to see it because Xhaka's now out for 12 weeks. So
is it 12 weeks that he's out for?
Yeah, 3 months, they said, yeah, on the site today. I think just quickly on Leroy's point, I thought he made a really good point there. You know, sometimes we spoke about with Xhaka, his positioning, like how he drops back in because of, Tini pushing up in build-up. But because of, like Leroy said, Tomiyasu in the shape now, they're actually, him and Partey actually played as a midfield two on Sunday. You know, sometimes there have been times where Partey's been isolated so much in the middle, but Xhaka was actually, I think I saw the stat that he saw his heat map. He's actually spent a lot of the time, you know, and I thought that really helped because I don't know if you guys noticed as well, there was a lot more centrality to our game. I think generally in this game as well, you saw how many passes were fizzed into ESR and Ødegaard in the half spaces. So I think, you know, like Leroy says, making it a proper partnership, having someone next to Partey, I think makes it all the better. And I think obviously naturally because Arteta chose to spend so much of his resources on the defence. So he now has, you know, he set defence, you know, he spent on all the defenders he wants. And, you know, for a lot of the first half, we were pretty much operating on the halfway line. So that meant we could obviously compress the space a lot further forward in front of us as well. So it meant obviously Xhaka and Partey didn't have like masses of ground to cover because, you know, the spacing, etc. was good. So they played as a proper midfield duo. And that's probably what we need to see more going forward as well. That will allow us to assert more dominance, allow us to have more variety and centrality to our play as well. So no, I thought that was really good.
Let's go through the goals then, because you know, I felt like we started brightly, and like you said there, Sean, we found Ødegaard in some interesting positions in like the first 10-15 minutes. You know, I thought he had a really good game again. Actually, I thought he had a really good game, and you know, he's one of those players that always seems to find the space, and when you have a player like Partey on the pitch who just need him in a haystack, really, he can just find you, right? It's just, it's incredible. And yeah, Xhaka did a bit of it as well, you know, just punching it through, finding Ødegaard in the space. I'm trying to remember, wait, the first goal was ESR's, right? So who played the ball into Saka? I can't remember.
It was a ball was played into Ødegaard first, and then he switched it out to Saka on the right. I think it might have been, I can't remember. It might have been Partey. I can't remember who it was. But yeah, there was a ball played into Ødegaard first, and then he carried it a bit, switched it out to the right where Saka was, and then he created that separation for the cutback for ESR.
That's the one, yeah. And you know, that's something that we've been wanting to see from ESR. To be fair, it's something we've been wanting to see from everything. So like, the actual ball to get to Ødegaard, we've been wanting our midfield to do that. We've been wanting our attacking midfielder to find key passes. We've been wanting our winger to isolate a fullback 1v1. And we've been wanting our you know, ESR to, you know, be getting into more goal-scoring positions. So everything seemed to, you know, happen exactly how we wanted in that, you know, in that scenario there. And it was just really good to see, like, ESR scoring the goal, you know, seeing their celebration and stuff like that. It was just, man, I'm so happy for those two, as obviously coming through the academy and all those things. And it's, you know, people say sometimes about, oh, what does it matter about the academy stuff? But it does, it gives you a different feeling when, you know, like when ESR is packing in Hugo Lloris, it's a different feeling than like a £50 million midfielder doing it. Do you know what I mean?
It's a drug, man. It's a drug to me still. I can't lie to you, but... Yeah, exactly what you said. But why? But the thing is, the key question is why? And why were we finding players in those positions? Why did that goal happen? And the goal happened because our wide players on the day could keep the ball. Our wide players on the day made good decisions on the ball. When you see the ball went out to Saka or ESR, they either ran someone or tried to go past someone, isolate their fullback, etc. Or they kept the ball and passed it to an Arsenal player. They just gave it simple. They gave it to a red shirt. They made the right decisions at the right time. And I'm going in on my Pepe slander already, because obviously, what is a touch
for it, man?
About Pepe slander. This is the thing. So we're going to compare this game to Norwich, right? Particularly the first half. So Norwich, I think it was that game that Pepe had pretty much the highest touches on the pitch. And we didn't look anywhere near as creative. Why? And this is what I keep saying. People keep saying, oh, he scores goals and assists. When you have someone who just is a turnover merchant and has such a loose touch and just keeps giving the ball to the opposition team, keeps running out of touch for throw-ins, keeps going out for corners, you can't build attacks. Things won't happen. The fact that Saka, ESR, one, make good decisions, and two, keep the ball, they allow you to actually... So when you get the ball in the final third, so you found your person in the half space, for Arsenal a lot of the time, that's when it breaks down. And a lot of it's because it's going through Pepe, where it shouldn't. But when it's Saka on the right particularly, or when it's ESR, it doesn't break down. And it either results in a good chance, a near chance, which is blocked off or something like that. Or we keep the ball, recycle it and go again. And our team's still pushed up. And we're not then running back and running towards our own goal. And it's just really, really, really important that you have technically secure, competent wide players who make good decisions. And I think that's the biggest takeaway from this game, and the biggest difference for me.
Yeah. Sean, how do you feel about the Pepe slander there from Dr. Lee?
You guys killed me ages ago. You know I'm converted. I lost the argument. So yeah, no, I don't disagree with what Leroy said. I think it's just, you know, the ball sticks, the ball progresses well with both of them, and then, you know, it allows us to be able to keep teams boxed in for longer periods. I don't really disagree there as well. No arguments from me.
It's quite. I just want to talk a little bit about ESR's performance, actually, because I think there's a really strong shout that he was man in the match.
This is where the propaganda starts. Let's go.
I think you know, it could have gone to a few players. I felt like, you know, Tomiyasu. I think, did Tomiyasu get the official?
No, Sky gave it to ESR.
So what did Tomiyasu get? Player of the month, was it?
No, it was the fan vote.
Fan vote on the Arsenal fan vote. Yeah.
Right. Oh, he got the player of the match for the fans vote.
The fan vote.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. So we'll get on to Tomiyasu anyway. But I thought ESR just was brilliant. And I feel like that left wing space really suits him as a player. Like he's not restricted there. He can roam off of the ball. He can take up central positions if he wants. He can enter the box late. When he's playing as a 10, I do feel like he feels like he has to be a bit more regimented. And maybe for players like Ødegaard, who quite like being in those central spaces and their game is centered around a little bit less, you know, like ESR's very mobile, right? He likes to move off of the ball. Ødegaard's not that type of player. He wants the ball to feet. He wants to, you know, take it in certain spaces. So I think that left wing position really helps ESR be, you know, have his influence on the pitch, basically. And I think we should stick with him out there. I don't want to tamper with that, really. I think that's where he is best. Or do you guys think that, you know, the number 10, there is a future for him there?
Do you want to go anywhere? I'll go.
So personally, I think ESR is better as number 10. I think ESR is definitely better with full creative freedom to go where he wants. I feel like ESR's game is based on, freedom of movement. And like you said, I probably disagree with what you said. You said he's quite free out there. I don't think so. I think he's quite restricted. I think ESR, if you're looking at him as an individual, you get the best out of him when he is free to move anywhere on the pitch, because his game is all based on off the ball movement, or the majority of his game is. However, for the team, because we've got Martin Ødegaard, who really does give us a lot in that number 10 role, in my opinion, for the team, I can understand the argument where he's playing, because we need him in the team, number one, like there's no question. So I can understand for the team, it is best for him to play on the left and Ødegaard to play in the middle. I just don't think, if you're looking at him as an individual, that's getting the best out of him. I don't really agree with that.
Sean, what about you?
So I'm probably slightly a bit different firstly, it's worth clarifying. ESR's not really playing on the left. Do you know what I mean? It's only like when we're in the defensive phase that he's on the left. But you know,
left attacking midfield.
Basically, kind of. Like, you know how Arteta, Leroy said the 3-2-5, because it's Tini who's actually on the left, innit? So ESR's in the half space. So he's actually, do you know what I mean? He's floating about on sort of the left half space. So he is in one zone, because Arteta, this is positional play, innit? Do you know what I mean? Arteta likes to have rigid five lanes of attack. So he's in that left half space. So I think it's okay, just because he's not a natural high volume chance creator like an Ødegaard. So I wouldn't want the game flowing through him, just because if you're going to have a main creator, I think he needs to be on the ball regularly. I think he needs to have, you know, this is where I think Ødegaard has that vision over him. Ødegaard's more of a natural controller, dictator, whereas I think ESR uses his dynamism a bit more to do good combinations, running behind. And I think, you know, the second goal was a perfect example of that. You know, when Tierney fizzes it into Oba, he has that one-touch layoff. ESR's made a run off the back of Tanganga, and he's run through, and then he's able to cut that back. You know, that's just something Ødegaard can't do. because Odegaard doesn't have that in his game. But, you know, so I think that's why I've always thought they're both very complementary towards each other. So I'm probably more on your side. I don't have an issue with him where he is. Maybe if, you know, the system was a bit more flexible. But, you know, Arteta's very stringent in how, in terms of how he wants his five lanes of attack. So I'm not really that upset with him. I'm just very happy with him generally, because I was reading, I can't remember who the tweet was from. A lot of things are, you know, ESR's had a lot of shots already this season. So I don't know, there's been a noticeable uplift. And, you know, that's how it sort of, if you remember back to Ramsey, that's how it kicked off with him, you know, just getting into the positions. So ESR's missed quite a few chances already this season. But I think the fact that, you know, he's picking up these positions is great, and it bodes well. Like, if you think back to the goal we scored on Sunday, that's very reminiscent of, you know, a Pires or a Lundberg. He used to pick up, you know, just ghosting into positions towards the back post. And they used to, it's a very easy way to add. Like, if you think Sterling scores like 5-6 of those goals every season, do you know what I mean? Just by ghosting into that sort of space. So I'm really encouraged that, you know, he's getting into more goal scoring positions. I've read as well, he's in the top 8 for carries into the opposition area this season as well. So he's carrying the ball a lot more. He's dribbling a lot more. So there's been a noticeable, even though we haven't been great as a whole, as a team, there's been definitely a lot of noticeable improvements for me in ESR's game. So, which bodes well, the fact that he's taken on more responsibility, he's looking more of a direct threat himself. So that's already 2 goals now this season, 2 goals, a couple of assists. So, you know, when we're talking about the productivity that we want from him and Saka, I think it bodes very, very well. So really impressed by him, and long may it continue.
Obviously, there's been a few, if you're on Twitter, you would have seen it, quite a few timeline debates this week about, you know, just how good Emil Smith-Rowe is. You know, I think Chelsea fans, they got a bit...
Precious.
They got a bit precious over their boys, actually. It turned out it's not just Mason Mount. It was Conor Gallagher, who they actually got really, really, really precious about, which was interesting. But, yeah, I just want to know from you guys, like, What kind of level of talent are we dealing with here? Yeah. Where is ESR sitting at this table? Because, you know, if we look around world football, I mean, football is not in any real danger of like losing their talented footballers, right? There's so many good young footballers out there, even in the Premier League, loads of them. You know, we've got some coming through in the academy as well. So where does ESR stand for you in terms of like the talent, and what kind of level can this guy get to?
So for me, he's not in the top tier of young players, which is the Greenwood and Foden tier. I think them two are a different level of talent. But I think he's in the talent level below. And I don't think he gets the ratings that a player of that talent level should, because he's come through a little bit later than some people expect. I think Mount's a level below that. I'll say that for free. I think ESR is a level above Mount in terms of talent. But yeah, Mount's a good player as well. I like Mount, but definitely. So, but I think ESR is a level below. ESR is on a similar level to Bukayo Saka.
Who's better out of the two for you?
Oh, that's a tough question, you know. That's a real tough question. And I don't even know. I think time's got to tell, because if I go with my initial thoughts, I didn't rate Saka that highly, and I've always rated ESR very highly, like from day one. And ESR broke through first, technically, because he's older, but then he went on loan and all that type of stuff, and he's struggled with injuries, which is the reason he's taken so long to really establish himself. If he had to push me, I'd probably go ESR, because that was my initial assessment, even though Saka is probably outstripped what I would expect of him. So yeah, but I'd probably still go ESR, because for me, ESR's just been that guy from day.
Sean, what about you? Tough question. ESR or Saka?
I'm the same. I've always said from the start, I've always thought ESR was the best academy product we had. So I'm not surprised that he's starting to do what he's doing now. Where I would say probably the slight difference is that, you know, Saka shows maybe a bit more personality on the pitch, which, you know, maybe hopefully ESR can start doing a bit more now, because I still continue to maintain, even though I just saw a tweet, this was what I wanted to read, a guy called Adam Vogue on Twitter. He said ESR's already had more shots on target and dribbles in 5 league games this season than he did in the whole of his minutes last season. So, you know, statistically, there's already been a massive, massive uplift from him, which is very, very promising. and it bodes well for hopefully what we can see for the rest of the season, fitness permitting. So, yeah, for me, I do prefer his technical actions are a bit cleaner than Saka. Although, you know, Saka's got good, quite ambidexterity. Oh, that's the word, isn't it? You know, because Saka scored the goal off his right foot.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, no, Saka's worse. He scored Saka's left footed, but he scored off his right foot at the weekend as well. So he's happy to go off either side.
Assisted with his right foot as well, I think.
Yeah. So, both the assist and the goal came on Saka's weaker foot. So, and obviously Saka's established himself more. And Saka's a very powerful runner with the ball as well. Saka's still growing himself. So, yeah, it's marginal. But for me, I've always had a slight preference for Smith Rowe. That doesn't mean that I don't love Saka. I do. But I've always had a slight preference for ESR. So, And I feel like there's a lot more to come from him. So, yeah, I will slightly side there. So, yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, we're really lucky to have both of them. And they've been, both of them, but Saka and ESR, you know, where we'd be without those two, I don't even want to think about it, because it's dangerous. It really puts me down. So I don't really want to think too much about that. But while we're talking about Saka, obviously we spoke a lot about Saka in the opening weeks of the season, and saying he doesn't look quite at the level, maybe struggling for one reason or another. Anyway, and this kind of was stemming from the back end of last season as well, where he slowed down a bit. You know, he obviously came onto the scene and you know, had a great season overall last year, but he did slow down towards the end. And for the people that were at the League Cup game in midweek, everyone said that, yo, Saka like really turned up. He came on the pitch and instantly just looked like different qualities. So I thought that was quite interesting, hearing that he looked quite sharp. So then to see him coming in this game and really, I mean, he had Regulon, you know, just like on the ropes. Do you know what I mean? That guy is normal, very, very normal.
Anyway, very regular, bro.
Very, very regular. Very regular. Not McDonald's regular, like KFC regular. You know the difference. You know what I mean? So, yeah, like Saka just had him on toast and he looked sharp, which is something that I didn't really see. He just didn't look that fit. Maybe a bit of like a Euros hangover, obviously a bit of a traumatic experience for him in the Euros, but I'm sure he had quite a good Euros overall anyway, like performance level. But yeah, man, just good to see him sharp. And I think you guys touched on it earlier, moving over to the right. I think that has to be his position, right? We can't compromise Saka just for the sake of Pepe, really and truly, can we? If Saka has to have the right hand side, if you want to put Pepe in the team, it has to be somewhere else.
Yeah, I completely agree. It just looks so much more natural, and you get so much more like, you could just look at the productivity stats. He's so much more productive in terms of goals and assists on the right, and he looks so much more menacing on the right, and he looks like he has so much more purpose. I just think you lose so much from his game on the left. And this is what's scaring me, because the thing is, I hope Sambi comes in the team rather than him go back to the 4-3-3 and then put Pepe back in the team. Because I just don't want to see that guy on the pitch. Like, I think we just need to sell. We need to get rid, and we need to replace him with a proper attacker. Bring him on last 10 minutes, 15, if we need a goal and stuff. But that's the role I want to see for Pepe the next season.
Sean, what about you?
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, when we were speaking about his form or whatever, for me, it wasn't even, I just think it's a case of just he has to play on the right wing, like visibly, you know, the way, like I said, to come back to the shape that Arteta sets up in, you know, when he plays on the left, he's used as more of a, like, in ESR's role, which ESR played at the weekend, he's used as more of a playmaker. Whereas, you know, on the right, he's used as more of an outlet. Do you know what I mean? So I think him being used as an outlet where he's supported is just a lot better for him, because he's got a lot more space to operate in. He can go either way. You know, I think, you know, when you put a left footer on the right and they cut in, they can see the pitch a bit more, you know, there's better angles for them. So I just think, yeah, he looks a bit more two-way. He can go either way. Whereas on the left, I've always thought that sometimes him and Tierney get in the way of each other. Whereas, you know,
they're both quite wing backy, aren't they?
Yeah.
They pick up similar positions.
And that's it. You know, Saka, you see on the right, he's happy to hug the touchline a bit more, but then come in. Whereas, you know, on the left, he's sort of in the left half space, but then, like, he wants to drift out wide, but then, you know, is he going to be standing on Tierney's toes? Whereas, you know, when ESR is there, he's able to facilitate Tierney a bit more. You know, he brings Tierney into play a lot more than Saka does. And I just think it's that sort of natural synergy sometimes having players cutting onto their stronger foot. You create greater shooting and crossing variance. So I much prefer that for him. And as Leroy said, the stats bear themselves out. I think they said it's 15 goals and assists in 23 games, you know, from the right wing.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know if Leroy can, I don't know where it is, but I'm pretty sure someone posted it in the chat as well. He's a lot more proficient from the right-hand side. The numbers were very, very, and look, straight away, first game this season back on the right, goal and an assist. So I think it speaks for itself, to be honest. That's where the productivity will come from him, in my opinion.
Yeah. My favourite goal of the day was the second one. Was the second one the Ramsdale pass to Xhaka?
Yeah, that's the one.
It was, wasn't it? So we got a bit lucky, all right? We got a bit lucky. On another day, that could have ended in tears and we would all be hounding Ramsdale, hounding Xhaka, you know. But we got the luck. Xhaka did quite well, I guess, to get himself out of that situation. And maybe there's a bit of a foul there. I'm not too sure, really. But either way, we managed to get the ball up the pitch with some lovely 1-2 football. And Aubameyang is involved, like in a side to the game that people say he can't do, which is the link up stuff. And you know, a lovely little spin round the corner, the touch from ESR, fuck off, shut up, perfect,
disrespect,
perfect touch, and then the nice little drag back, and it was just, everything about the goal was just, you know, it was. We got to what from back to front in about, I don't know. I'm just going to make it up. Like, I'm going to say 4.2 seconds. That's what I'm going to say. 4.2 seconds. We got from back to front, and you know, it was a lovely finish from Aubameyang as well. And it's just, you know, it's nice to see us scoring, you know, aesthetically pleasing goals again, because you know we haven't had too many. You know, Arsenal are known for, we used to score like goals like that every week, you know, back in the day. So you know, to get them back at the Emirates again, it really does remind me of like the old, you know, the early Emirates teams, like, you know, with your Fabregases, your Nasri's, your Rizikis. That was that kind of goal, you know, with Van Persie's. And I feel like this attack that we have with your Odegaard, ESR, Saka, less so Aubameyang, obviously, but Partey in midfield, you've got so much really nice technical players now and a lot of good mixes in styles. I think they mesh quite well. I don't want to go overboard, but it does give me like a sense of excitement if that can kind of gel. And we did see it gel with that goal. I thought it was just, we probably won't score a better goal than that this season, probably.
No, to an extent, I agree. I feel like when we play that team and that first team, the technical level is so much higher. And like I was saying, it's so important just that, especially in the front four, because you've got Aubameyang already, who technically isn't the best, even though he's a shooter. You can't carry another player that's not good technically. So I just feel that we still lack, because any of them get injured, including Xhaka, that is, and I just don't think we'll see the same kind of level of performance. So all this about they spent money to raise a floor, I actually don't think the floor has been raised significantly. Because imagine if we lose Odegaard, or we lose ESR, or we lose Saka, or we lose Aubameyang, and you've got to bring in Lacazette, you've got to bring in Pepe, you've got to bring in Reece Nelson or whoever. Like, you're in trouble. Like, you're in trouble. So I don't know, but I just hope we can at least. I hope he brings Nkongu in. I hope Nkongu performs, and I hope we can at least see that level of performance with that front four in particular for a good stretch of games, and then we can really assess where we are.
Yeah. And obviously the third goal was hilarious in a lot of ways, to see Harry Kane, obviously pinched by Partey on the edge of our own box. Somehow Harry Kane has found his way in the in his own area to make the slide challenge. You know, great recovery, by the way. But, you know, Saka still managed to get the shot off in the end. And, you know, a nice little finish from there. Very important that he got that goal, I think. Very important that Saka got that goal. Because we bemoaned that his finishing hasn't been that great. And it's something, you know, listen, if this team is going to perform and we're going to put so much responsibility on these young kids, ESR and Saka, they need to come up with the goods. Like, if they're going to be playing, they need to be scoring, they need to be creating, they need to be not so, I don't really care about assists, but just creating chances and scoring goals. And you know, I just thought it was so important that Saka slotted that away, and it was a nice little finish on the right foot as well. You know, did it, no, like, no hesitation really, just it set nicely from him, a smash, boom, into the bottom corner. It was just one of those days where everything went right for us. Absolutely everything went right for us. On another day, maybe he miskicks it, at goes straight down Lloris's throat or something. But I just thought it was so important for him to get on the score sheet there. Just want to talk about a few of the other performances. Let's start from the back to the front. So another game of Ramsdale in goal. A few talking points, obviously. Some people feel like he could have done better for the goal. I think he himself said he should have done a bit better. But I keep looking at the goal and I'm thinking, how? I think he's just being like a bit of a passion merchant. Like, oh yeah, you know, if I get my hand to the ball, I should save it. But I think from a technical point of view, I don't really see what else you could have done, really. The ball has come out you from, what, 7, 8 yards?
I agree, man. It's like basically on the 6-yard box. Like, once it's hit with that much power, there's literally not much you can do. Even if you do get your hand to it, the power's just taking it in. So, I know he's probably evaluating it loads, but I just feel like it's very hard to judge, like, you know, a goalkeeper from there. Like, where you could maybe criticise him more was, you know, the pass to Xhaka that, you know, could have gone wrong for the second goal. But I don't really put any stock in him, like, for that goal, to be honest. Now, I don't put that blame on him. Generally speaking, I'm not there yet. I'd say I'm probably two games away from you know, probably changing, but because I'm still skeptical. However, I have to give credit where it's due. Do you know what I mean? I did say, we said last week, that Burnley game was a big tick for me in his box. Do you know what I mean? So there's a certain, I feel like, you know, those intangibles where it's hard to say with goalkeepers, where they just inspire a bit more confidence. I feel like the defenders trust him a lot more than they trust Leno. One, and also he comes and he claims. For me, that is one of the things I judge a goalkeeper by so much. Like, the ball's in the box, come and claim it, come and take it. Do you know what I mean? So, come and be assured in your action, whatever. Even if you punch it, be assured in your punching. Do you know what I mean? So, take the pressure off the back four, which I think he does. So, I'm not there yet, but another two solid games, you might catch me jumping onside.
Sunday, I bought $100 worth of Rams. $100 worth of Rams, mate.
But you know what? I think he's a very likable guy. You root for the guy. You want him to do well in it. And I do, 100%.
And he knows what he's doing as well. Like, you know, like, he's clearly an English lad that understands English culture and understands English football fans. Because the things he's doing, they're not by accident. He knows what he's doing. The passion merchant stuff, he knows people love it. The stuff with the ball boy, he knows that's getting around. Like, he's not stupid. So, yeah, but he's a likable guy. And so is Tomiyasu. Him and Tomiyasu, I don't know why. I like both of them better. So, I hope they do well. I haven't bought anything in stocks, like, for his keeping ability yet. I need to see him face.
You didn't think the Spurs game, he was tested quite a bit. Obviously made one really good save.
That Moura save was brazy. I can't lie.
But those kind of freak saves, I want to see how you do with, like, your standard 1v1s, your standard shots, and long shots, because long shots is where he was weak on. He didn't move his feet quick enough, he didn't get his position quick enough, and switching off. So I'm still holding that judgment on that, but he's a really likable guy, man. Like, I hope he's good, because if he's good and he's got that type of character as well, that I mean, I know you're going to love this, Lewis, because you're a bit Brexit, but then you've got him, you've got Tierney, you've got, we'll see what Ben White says. You've got Emerson.
I don't think Ben White's Brexit. I don't.
Yeah, you've got Saka, but you've got a bunch of English lads as a core of the team.
And I think that was a concerted effort, probably. I think that was they're trying to do that in it. Do you know what I mean? So they're trying to get, like, they're trying to build another British core again.
Just a good one, like a better one.
And I was like, and it is one of those intangibles. Like, it does matter. Like, it does matter. Like, having people.
We said it earlier, right? Like, ESR and Saka scoring, it just, I don't know, man. It puts like, it's like it's worth extra points or something when they score.
I think it's always good to have good British players in your team just because, like, they understand, you know, just what it means. Like, and that is so Brexit. That is such a passion merchant way of explaining it. But it does, it just make, like, don't ask me to explain, but it makes sense, innit?
Oh, I think it does make sense. I'm sure, but I don't think it's just an English thing. I reckon Italians would say the same thing. Or, like, Italians know what it's like to play in the Serie A, you know, or Germans know what it's like to play in the Bundesliga.
That's very true, yeah. I think
they know what it's like to play in La Liga kind of thing.
It's always good to have a core of homegrown players. Yeah, it is. Definitely.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Hey, listen, I'm not all in on Ramsdale. Don't get me wrong. I'm not all in. I bought $100. All right, 30 million market cap. All right, 30 million market cap. But I've got some more on order. All right, but I can cancel it any time. All right, okay. I can cancel it any time. I'll just go into my 212 and just cancel that trade. I'll get my full money back.
All right.
Me.
Yeah, you just cut out for a second.
All right, cool. I think my mic is moving a bit higgy. 100 quid for this mic. Better be bloody well. What was I saying? Yeah, no. Just a quick word. I thought it was excellent. Just where I stand actually. Because we don't really want to talk about the negative points, but for that second goal, do you think Ramsdale was right to pass to Xhaka in that situation?
Yes. Well, it was a bad pass.
Oh, you thought, right? So you
right pass, bad execution. He didn't have the ball bit.
So what? In terms of execution, are you saying that he didn't pass it quick enough?
Yeah, like, if you're going to do it, you've got to really fire it in at him. Really fire it in. He should not have to move to the ball. That should have gone so fast that that's coming to him at
just
pace.
Does it in one kind of thing.
Yeah, one action.
Or maybe he... but then it's Xhaka, isn't it? Doesn't do anything in one.
Yeah, no, but to be fair, I don't know if that's Xhaka's fault, that one, man. Like, because I agree with Leroy. I think the pace on the ball is a bit slow. And also, by now, like, we've had nearly 2 years of Arteta. We know that's what he wants to do, because basically, once you execute that sort of thing well, because what you're aiming to do is you're aiming to try and sucker, like, the team onto you. You're trying to bring them onto you and then play into this. And pretty much that's how it worked perfectly, you know, for that spacing behind. So it's a strategy that, you know, once executed well, as it did for the second goal, we did get a bit of luck. But once it's executed properly, it can yield results, because you've suckered people into position, you've played in behind them, you've run off them, and all of a sudden you saw in the space of what, 10 seconds, we scored a goal. Do you know what I mean?
4.2.
Is that how quick it was? Right, yeah, exactly. So the strategy makes sense, obviously, but as Leroy said, the execution has to be spot on otherwise, because that's the sort of thing. It worked for us, but, you know, we can also concede from that as well.
100%. And you know what? I think that's another thing of, like, maybe why he wanted, like, a fresh goalkeeper to come in, because I think Leno is just traumatized from all of these mistakes.
Leno doesn't want to do it anymore.
Facts are, we don't score that second goal if Leno plays. By hook or by crook, Ramsdale forced the ball through. Xhaka somehow got away with it. Ramsdale somehow got away with it, and we scored.
Actually, Leno, and I will say generally, Ramsdale's kicking is sick. Like, especially long.
Have you seen, like, Aubameyang's dual stats, actually? And I wonder how much that has to do with Ramsdale's kicking.
Sanchez was drunk. Nah, Sanchez was drunk. How are you letting Robert beat you in the air?
Davison Sanchez. Davison, I think Sanchez. A lot of it has to do with Ramsdale's kicking, you know.
In what way?
Because I feel like Ramsdale, he's not just like, this is going to sound like really too technical and analytical, and we don't have to go there, but I think it's like the trajectory of which he's kicking the ball. He's not like putting it up high for Aubameyang to try and head it. He's like putting it into chest height, or like basically at a height that Aubameyang can actually contend for it. You know, and I think the accuracy of the kick really helps Aubameyang winning these duels. Maybe I'm looking too much into it, but that's what I saw.
I haven't noticed it myself, but I'll have a look at it for next time. I might do another rewatch. And
he kicks it very flat, like I don't know. It's Leno. Leno's just kind of like kicking it into areas. Ramsdale's very precise and pinpoint with what he's trying to hit.
I think with Leroy, I have to see a bit more. But there have been a few instances where he's distributed, and I'm like, okay, you know what? This is maybe better than I thought it would be. Do you know what I mean? So both on the ground and across, like there was one, I think it was in the Norwich game, where he just kicked it from his hand straight out. Like, I can't remember. It went out wide, maybe to Pepe or Oba. I can't remember. But I remember thinking about that, and I was like, that's actually sick. Like, just straight from his feet, like straight to them. So I was like, fair enough. So if that's a trait that he has and that he can develop, we'll be more in the money. So obviously we know that's definitely what Arteta wants. And obviously Leno's not providing it, and he hasn't provided it for a while. So yeah.
He reminds me a lot of Pickford with his kicking style, actually. all right, let's talk about Tommy. Let's talk about Tommy, because another good game under his belt. The fans have really taken to him. You know, he had up Son, pocketed him. I know Son scored, but weren't really his fault, really. But, just another solid game, man. That guy, does he lose a duel?
Like, I haven't seen him lose one yet.
Isn't there a stat like he hasn't been dribbled past?
I haven't seen him lose.
Yeah, he's not been dribbled past in three league games he's played so far. Not once.
And it's so nice to see the basics of defending. Like I said, I like watching defenders sometimes. Like, pause. I like defenders when just his positioning, like. You know how Chambers is so awkward and moves his feet so slowly and never gets his hips in the right position and never dips down low enough, doesn't get his center of gravity in. And like, what you really want to do is you really want to make sure your center of gravity is low and you explode into the challenge. So once you decided to do the challenge, you commit to it and make sure it's a nice, sturdy challenge to make sure you win the ball. And even if it bounces or ricochets, you know you're coming out because the positioning, the trajectory of the way you challenge and the way your center of gravity is really low, you're going to have the upper hand from the physical duel when it comes to contesting. You both hit the ball. Tomiyasu just gets that right all the time. Like, body positioning, footwork, making sure you're balanced, making sure your feet are coordinated, jockeying quickly, making sure when you do the challenge, you really explode and you bash into them. So if you haven't won a challenge, you've knocked them over in a way that they're not going to get the ball on the other end. And he just does the basics really well from that perspective. And then in the air as well, it's not like he's jumping mad high. It's just he's got good positioning. Yeah. Like, he reads the flight of the ball very well. He positions himself very well. And he's committed. Like, everything is 100%. Like, honestly, as a defender, very, 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 very happy with what I've seen from him. Really, really good. I'm a little bit gutted because we've seen, like, I think about, what, three crosses and they're all fucking awful. But it would be nice if he had a bit more going forward. But technically, when he's on the ball, he's actually just distributing from passing.
Very secure. And he's got a good pass in him, right?
Very good passing.
Off 5 foot as well.
And also, he's got a fantastic first touch in tight spaces, which is another thing I've noticed. So I'm
looks like impressed. A bargain, right? Looks like a bargain. 16 million, I think it was.
I feel like that's pretty much, I obviously can't say it yet, but it looks like it might be the best signing we'll probably make this summer. So for value for money and just the contribution, just because as well, like, it's not very often you see like 6'2" right backs who are very agile, you know, and like they said about, I think it's always Dan who says this, German Dan as well, the coordination as well. Like, you know, sometimes you get tall players who look clumsy and who look clunky. Like, he doesn't look clunky, which is really, really good as well. And like you said, wins every draw, which is a real surprise. And obviously for someone like Ben White, who isn't great in the air, it really, really helps him. So, you know, you've got good protection there at the back. And just generally, you're in a place now where you feel a lot more confident about the back five in general. So hopefully now that will allow us to focus more on the weaknesses and you know, where we can address going forward.
Definitely. It's even stuff like, I know, you know, the Ramsdale save and then him following up the rebound. It's like things like that, they look simple because in our eyes, it's like, well, obviously the defender's supposed to clear it. But I'm telling you, I've played football enough. I've seen enough football games. I've seen enough Arsenal games where our right back is like falling asleep or they're like ball watching and they haven't reacted to the rebound and stuff like that. I'm even thinking of like the Brentford game, opening game of the season, where Chambers obviously had a shocker. I don't think Tomiyasu is making the same mistakes as Chambers does in that game. You know, I don't think Brentford are scoring the goals that they scored with with Tomiyasu on the pitch. And I think those things make us such a huge difference to, especially in the Premier League, man. They make a huge difference to between 0 points, 1 point, and 3 points.
He just looks reliable. And even if you're not spectacular, I think Leroy always talks about the point of just, it's football. Sometimes we do overcomplicate it, because at the basic level, you win your duels. You have your opposition marker, you beat them. Do you know what I mean? So once you do that, you already have an advantage over them. So the fact that you can execute well, basically, and then, you know, shoulder to shoulder in the air, you win. It's, do you know what I mean? Fans are never going to hate you, pretty much.
He's 22.
Yeah.
Like he's fucking 28, 29. Like he's got that. He's got that maturity. Like he doesn't make any bad decisions. You know, he's 22 years old. It's a bit hard to
And the recovery pace.
A good recovery pace. So and you know what? We had a good look at Emerson on Saturday as well, didn't we? And it looks a lot like we've dodged a bullet there, because, you know, that was a player we were strongly linked to. I think a couple of us in the group chat quite liked him from what they had seen. But fucking hell, he looks pony, mate. Absolutely pony.
30 mil as well. Fucking hell.
Was he 30 million?
Yeah.
And Tomiyasu's better for half the price and younger as well.
Well, I've spoken to the Spurs lot. They're gutted because they were linked to Tomiyasu as well.
I remember early in the window.
And for some reason that didn't go
the
through.
The only thing is, we got to be careful because he's doing such a specific role. He really, when I've looked at him go forward, he really don't look like he has anything in the final third. Like literally nothing. So as much as I like what he's doing, this system will flatter him, because if he was playing in a Wenger team, we'd all be going mad and we'd all be saying, this guy is fucking pony. This guy gets a nosebleed as soon as he goes across the halfway line. So we've got to be careful from that perspective. But for the role he's doing now, great.
Fair enough. Let's talk about Ben White. Progressing. Is he progressing? I thought we had a solid game. You know, obviously, Harry Kane didn't fancy much of Gabriel in this game. So he focused a lot more on Ben White. Didn't get too much joy, although, you know, on another day, maybe they would have got a penalty. I was very surprised that wasn't given, actually. Very, very surprised.
Especially after VAR as well.
Yeah.
It was a stonewall
penalty. I was surprised Kane didn't appeal a bit more. Maybe
I'm surprised none of them. I don't know. But it was interesting because, obviously, I know generally in the group, a lot of you guys are not keen on him. I still think that there's something there. It was funny on that game, he was a lot more aggressive with Kane. You know, I said before, both him and Gabriel are both front-footed defenders. So far, it looks like White's been the one that to sit off a bit more. But I noticed White was particularly a bit more aggressive up against Kane on Sunday. I don't know if that was instruction or if they just spoke to each other. So, but yeah, I thought
Kane just targeted White. I think he just decided to sit on White, so White had to do something. If it had been the opposite way, Gabriel would have attacked Kane and White would have sat off, I believe.
Well, I mean, Kane did attack Gabriel at the end again as well, do you know what I mean? So he was upset because he didn't get much joy. But yeah, no, I think it was okay. I still agree with the rest of you guys, though. Like, you know, at the end of the day, we paid 50 mil and, you know, we're talking about you need to replace what David Luiz was doing. So he does have the big switch on him. We know he has the big diagonal or the ball over the top. And there was a couple, actually. I did see, you know, when I looked at back through his individual comps, there was a couple through the lines to Xhaka and Partey. That's what – it's those sort of intermediate value passes I want to see a bit more of rather than just the over the top or the huge switch. Obviously, the huge switch is good when it's on, but
– I love a big switch.
No, there's nothing wrong with a big switch.
No, because I love it, mate. My favourite pass in the game is the big switch.
Have you played football with Lewis? All he does is switch. So, well, this guy will be in the middle of the pitch at midfield and he's looking for a switch.
He loves the Hollywood ball in it.
It's the most underrated pass in the game, mate. Underrated pass.
And to be fair, and like you, it does have its value, especially when a team's pressing you heavy. Like if you can just drop a ball in behind their defense, I mean, it has great value. But at the same time, we're going to be playing more and more teams who are sitting back. So, you know, yeah, some you're going to need to break lines a bit more, which is what I want to see, which Luiz was fantastic at. But I thought it was a good performance from him, bar that penalty moment. I thought he was fine.
Good performance, bar the penalty, which we could have conceded from. Dr. Leroy, any progression?
Progression. So positives. Like, I feel like I'm repeating myself over and over again. He is a very, very, very good reader of the game, and he gets in front of things really well. But I still worry about him in physical duels, but that wasn't really that apparent. I think he did quite a good job. I just think Kane weren't really up for it. I can't lie to you. He looked well off the pace. But the second thing is, being a defender, as much like you could do amazing work for 88 minutes, and you could
Mustafi,
and you could do two Bozo moments, and you cause us to concede in the penalty. And Ben White's having a Bozo moment a game, like that should have been a pen. And I'm sorry, you're the 50 mil defender, I don't care if you're 23. Like, I mean, can you imagine if Saliba was making the mistakes Ben White was?
Oh, he wouldn't hear the end of it.
And
wouldn't hear the end of it if he was doing it at Marseille.
Exactly, from Guna Dave's Twitter and that. Like, they'll be on.
Well, that's why he's on loan Twitter.
Oh, Jesus. So, he needs to sort it out. In a way, like, I'm still not feeling him because I like my defenders to be, like, defenders. I like them to be tall, strong, like good in physical duels. That's me, like
Gabriel.
Gabriel. That's how I like my defenders, isn't it? So there's always going to be something in me that looks at Ben White and thinks, "No, you're not it." Because if I was a striker, I'd be like, "Yeah, I'm having you up today. I'm eating you for breakfast." Like you look at Tony, and Tony looks at Ben White thinking, "Yeah, I'm fucking you up today." Right. And I don't like the fact that someone can look at my centre back and think that. So. There's always going to be a part of me that thinks we can upgrade there, but he does have some good attributes. He is decent on the ball. I haven't seen anything crazy, but he is decent on the ball. He is comfortable. He does try to move the ball forwards a lot. He does read the game very, very well. He does have actually decent recovery pace as well, which is good. But again,
50 million just way too much.
50 million in it. Like, we'll have to see how that goes.
Yeah. 100%. Obviously, we spoke a little bit just about Gabriel just then. Another colossus performance. Just, again, similarly to Tomiyasu, maybe not so much as Tomiyasu. Tomiyasu is just that kind of like steady Eddie. Gabriel, you kind of already always know there's probably a mistake there. But it's not like a bozo. I don't put him in the same mold as like Ben White. Gabriel is just his style of defending. You know, I don't think it's particularly bozo-ish. It's just he's very aggressive. He's very touch tight, you know. And you're gonna get done like that. You're gonna get done.
High risk, high reward defending.
Exactly. And you know, I think as long as we accept with Gabriel that is his style of defending, and for you know 95% of the games, it's gonna produce very good rewards for us. And we don't get on his back and start, you know, saying, "Oh, he's shit, fucking shit." Yeah, like some Arsenal fans started to turn their back on Gabriel, you know, saying Mari's better.
I've not forgotten.
I wish I
wish I favorited everything.
It's just night and day, man. Like, you know, and it's no coincidence that since Gabriel's come in, obviously we've had it's 3 wins in a row and we've conceded 1 goal, right? So it's no coincidence that since Gabriel's come in, obviously Tomiyasu, the defense looks way stronger. And
that is one thing I'll give Arteta. I think the defense looks visibly stronger.
Well, I mean, you spent fucking how much 100 million?
And to be fair, and that's what I was about to say. You'd expect it to, considering that's where you've chosen to spend the bulk of your resources. That needs to be so.
Can I say one reason the defense is so much stronger is because Thomas Partey is a fucking gargantuan midfielder.
You know, with him, it's kind of like there's nothing I even need to say. The quality speaks for itself. Like it just actually speaks for itself. Like visibly for me, he is the best and the most important player in the whole team. Like, just generally, like, he needs to play.
And like, every game. People were turning on him last season.
They make me sick. Like, they make me sick. So, because even I'll see him, some people say, like, Bissouma's better than him. And I really, we all like Bissouma. And we all think Bissouma. But I'll tell you for free, Bissouma is, he can't wipe Thomas Partey's shoe. He has, you know, a great, no, he can't. He has a greater degree of athleticism than Partey. Like, he's faster and he's stronger, but he has nowhere near the same level of quality on the ball. 100%. The way Thomas Partey pams it through the lines at every conceivable opportunity.
There was one pass. I don't know if you guys remember the pass to Aubameyang.
And
it was like touch. It was like one of those passes though that you know that you don't see get made that often because it's like on TV to us is like easy. Oh look, God hit Aubameyang, but we know on a football pitch that it's difficult to see the pass.
Let alone execute it.
Yeah. So to see him just be like, all right, cool. I'm just going to absolutely wallop it. Yeah. I'm going out wide on the right, but I'm going to swing it out to Aubameyang. I was just like, you know what? This is football, man. This is football. I love the pass. I love the player. We know what he's about anyway. We know the quality that he brings to the table. That's not in our camp anyway. That's never been the issue. The issue is obviously is if he can stay fit. And, you know, we all commented on how sharp he looked in preseason. And I'm so glad the injury hasn't set him back. Because in preseason, I thought this guy, similar to Emil Smith Rowe, they look like they're on the cusp, you know? Emil Smith Rowe has looked like that all season. He looks like he's on the cusp. He's ready to explode. And I felt like that was the same with Thomas Partey. Like, he's had his preseason. He looks ready to explode. He looks ready to fucking boss this league. And then obviously he gets injured and it's like, oh, fucking hell, man. Can you just have 1 week of just being fit? Please play just 3 games in a row. But the injury doesn't seem to have set him back.
Yeah.
He looks sharp. You know, still maybe a few fitness gas tank issues. I don't know if that comes with games.
I feel like that's our whole team, though. Like, we don't end... We and this has been featured throughout Arteta's tenure. We just don't really end games well under him. So I don't know if it is a fact that we're just not that fit a team. But, you know, when you hear other people say we do, like, high-intensity training sessions. So I don't really know what it is. But, yeah, it's a shame because you always see roughly around the 70-minute... like Mark, Arsenal start to gas and then like we just bring on players to like, you know, just try and see it out. And obviously in that game it was fine, we had the lead in it, but yeah, you would like to see us maybe see out games a bit better, like control it out, you know, just keep the ball and make other teams work.
One thing I would say about that is I've actually been quite impressed with Ainsley Maitland-Niles when he's come on the pitch in recent weeks as a sub. Like, he's come on and obviously he's not doing anything spectacular or anything like that. Listen, we'll sit here and tell you we don't really rate him as a centre midfielder. But to do the job that he's being asked to come on, which is literally just inject energy, be defensively switched on, I actually think he's done it quite well.
It's not a
bad sub to bring off the pitch, you know?
I feel like with both him, like... and Lokonga, even though they're not doing anything spectacular on the ball, it's adding a degree of athleticism to see at games. And, you know, just to help run things down, like, you know, another two, because one thing's actually both of them, they both have very good dual statistics. So they both fare out very, very well. Like, you know, you can talk about, especially Lokonga, maybe his positioning defensively, but when he actually has to tackle or come up against someone 1v1, he's got the stats fare well in his favour. So, that's good because I was quite impressed when they both came on against Burnley. And, you know, you saw they just killed the game against Burnley. So that was fair enough. So, and obviously we haven't even spoke about it, but, you know, going forward now, Xhaka's out for 3 months. So this is going to be, I think, a big chance for Lokonga, especially. And I really hope he does it. You know, we spent 20 mil on him, so we need to see it. I'm not, like a lot of it, we've not been overly, I think he's been okay, but, you know, he's not set the world alight. And, you know, this is what we were talking about, spending on a marquee centre mid this summer, and that would have really moved a big needle for us. So hopefully he gets a run of games now to show what he can do a bit more. I don't really want us to go to a 4-3-3 shape with Partey as a single pivot and ESR and Odegaard. I prefer more of the solid base, the 4-2-3-1. So yeah, so we'll see. But yeah, hopefully he can show more of what he has. He's going to play a lot anyway. So
I mean, what worries me though is because now obviously Xhaka's out, and Partey, we know he's had issues staying fit. Partey gets injured,
we're in big trouble.
So, and we've got what, it's October, November, December. We've got to navigate the Christmas period.
Yeah, we've got to navigate 3 months, and then Partey goes to AFCON anyway. So even when, like, so even when Xhaka comes back, you still got, so Lokonga could see, like, if he stays fit, he could see like 4 months of just continuous action basically now. So
I'm sure he will improve during that, like,
because I'm not massively sold on Lokonga yet.
Me neither. I think he's a nice player. Nice, you know, he's an interest, you know, where it's like, oh, he's an interesting player, you know, it's like you don't really want to call him shit, and he's not great, he's just in that kind of like
do you know what it is with me. I actually think he's got such a nice blend of attributes. I just need to see more personality from him. He just seems a bit too timid, which is
maybe that will come by next to Partey.
I just want to see a bit more forcefulness from him. Do you know,
We've only seen him play with what? Elneny. I think he played one game with Elneny, was it?
He played with Xhaka against Brighton.
Brighton?
He played with Xhaka against Chelsea. Sorry, against Brentford, sorry. Played with Xhaka against... And... Yeah, it was Xhaka and Lokonga for the first 2 games. He played Lokonga against Brentford as well, and against Chelsea as well. And then the City game, he didn't play. But yeah.
Listen, Uncle Partey makes everyone look good, so maybe he does the same with Sambi.
Well, yeah, if he can make Elneny look competent, he will make, I'm sure Lokonga will look better than that. So fingers crossed.
I even forgot we had Elneny. Oh,
that guy ain't touching the pitch, bro.
Yeah, I think he's not been
ahead of him.
Yeah, he's not been in the squads. So I think, and obviously his contract runs out in the end. I think they're trying to force him out slowly, slightly, you know, because there was the thing. Yeah, no, but even he's been back for the last two, he's just not even been in the squad. So there's a lot of people that are just not making squads now again in it. So, because I've seen Chambers, Mary, they've not been making squads for the last few games. So, which is good because I'm not trying to see them anyway. But,
I never thought I'd be pissed off at a Xhaka injury in my life.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It's funny because it's like we've just signed him to this long contract. One of the things people were using to defend it was, oh, you know, he never gets injured. He's like, you know, he's Mr. Defendable. He's Mr. Reliable. And what happened? Fucking 4 games
it's actually so crazy because Xhaka actually never gets injured.
Never gets injured. Never
but to be fair, like that challenge looked bad. But you saw the way like when Moura went into him.
Moura
like,
even stayed with him, right? Moura yeah. stayed down.
No, nah, Moura stayed with him until he saw that Tottenham could possibly score. Then he got up. But yeah. So.
Just want to touch on a couple more players before we move on. Ødegaard, Dr. Lee. What can I say, man? Another game with no shots, no chances created, no assists, no goals.
And he played well, and he was an integral part. And this is what I'm saying, bro. Like, this is what I'm saying.
I'm joking, by the way.
30 games in the season, I'm happy.
Yeah, no, he was very good. He was very good. You know, it was like one of those games where you look at the metrics. Maybe you look at right. He obviously didn't get on the score sheet. No assists. I don't know if he created like a direct chance. Not too sure if. But he had like those key passes. I don't know if they count as key passes, but or like just the areas he's receiving the ball. You know, it's just very threatening. And is making shit happen. Mm-hmm. And me personally, if he performs like that, I don't care if he gets assists. I don't care if he scores. I care if he scores, but assists and all that stuff, I don't care. Because I know if he's picking up the ball in these positions on in those same kind of scenarios, I know we're going to make chances. I know we're going to score. Whether that be as a direct consequence of him,
You're pissing me the fuck off. Because
why?
Because I've made this argument for years about Ozil. Made this argument about Odegaard. And now you're repeating the same argument which I've made back to me like it's something new.
It's not the same as Ozil, man. Ozil's just a lazy cunt, bruv. Nah, and he was a pussy. Man.
Anytime we talk about these players, all you do is go and fucking pull up PremierLeague.com and start looking at numbers. I'm like, that's completely, like, I don't care, because this is...
Ozil didn't play for like 3-4 months of the season.
Nah. But this, forget Ozil, but this
surely
is
what up, mate.
Literally, like, how are they impacting
Turkey
the game?
Now?
How are they affecting the game? That's what matters. And Odegaard did that, and that's important. And another thing, he is clearly a leader, because he absolutely screams at everyone to press, to work hard, stop running. I mean, don't stop running.
He works his socks off, to be fair, off the ball.
He's running all the time. And that kind of influence you want to have on your teammates, like, it's invaluable, honestly. And he's, what, 23, 22?
But this is the thing with all of our team. They're all hella young.
Like,
you look at Ben. You look at Partey. Partey's what, 28, right?
Partey and Obba and Xhaka. They're the oldest in the team. Everyone else is.
Everyone else is what, below 23?
Yeah. 24. Yeah. That's it.
That's insane.
But Pepe wasn't in the team, obviously.
Other than that, it's very, very young, and it will only get younger because Laka's going to leave in the summer. Elneny's gone as well, so they're just generally bringing down. Leno's probably going to leave, so the average age of the team just keeps coming further down. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we don't want to go too far the other way where you don't have any sort of like experience. So I think that's probably why like they're so keen on like Xhaka and Partey, just because that's a good, it's a strong level of experience. But yeah, we'll see, man. We still need another centre mid.
Obviously, another good performance from one of our experienced guys on the pitch was from Aubameyang, and it was just nice to see, man. It was nice to see. He looked like he really enjoyed that game. I know he loves North London derbies anyway. Like I think he's got a really good goal scoring record against
them anyway, doesn't he? 8 in 12 games against
8 in 12 games. I mean, that's brilliant. Yeah. That's practically what, like, the same kind of level that Harry Kane scores against us as, you know. It's a very, very good record against Spurs. He loves
it. It's not all for Arsenal, though. I think some were a couple for Dortmund as well. Oh, okay. But generally,
His record for Arsenal against Spurs is good as well.
Yeah, it is. I mean, to be fair, it's one of those ones. The derby, you don't need to say much in it. Everyone's always going to be up for that. But I liked that he was a bit more aggressive. He was willing to engage the centre-backs a bit more. There was one where the ball was flung into Odegaard. He played like a first-time pass to... Obba, and he shrugged off the defender and he shot from like 30 yards and it just whistled over. And I was that's impressive. I've not seen that sort of thing from you, do you know what I mean, in a while. So I get we need to create for him more. We need to sustain more attacks for him to get him into better positions. But I'd also like to see him just, you know, like you said, run the channels a bit more. There was that ball Gabriel played in behind for him as well. So he just looked a more menacing threat just in general, which I really, really like. So hopefully he can continue that going forward. So...
Yeah, definitely, man. I enjoyed Obba's performance, and I think he enjoyed being out there as well. And I think the critics that say, "Oh, Obba just don't give a shit" and stuff like that. I don't know if that's ever really sat well with me. I started to come round to the idea, because it was just some of the performance were just a bit yuck. But Leroy, any thoughts on Aubameyang really? And you know. His performance.
I think Aubameyang worked really hard and he's clearly putting it in for the team, which is important. Now, Aubameyang just needs chances. I still don't worry about him majorly. I mean, I still think if he gets the chances, he's going to net. What he was doing in the first few years where he was here was completely unsustainable. And if he's getting older, it's going to be even less likely that's going to happen, to outperform his XG like that. All I want to see is us to create a reasonable amount of chances, and I'm convinced he will get an adequate amount of goals. It might not be stellar anymore. He might not get 25 league goals and stuff, but he will get an adequate amount of goals for a club in our position trying to chase where we're trying to chase.
Cool. We've got Brighton next. You know, it's going to be a tough game. How did we get on against Brighton last year? I know we beat them away. How did we get on against them at home?
I saw we did the double against Brighton.
We did the double over them.
But they've got Basuma, what, potentially Welbeck, and another player injured. I don't remember who.
Really?
Yeah, so it's. I mean, to be fair, we should be beating them with those guys anyway. But, you know, there's a good chance now. Like, you know, really need to... This is where I mean, obviously, I was saying that, you know, this is where I wanted to see Arteta's consistent team for like five games straight. But even if you take Xhaka out and just put Lokonga in, like, mm-hmm. I still need to be seeing a good level of performance. Now, you have pretty much, that's 98% of his, your first, your preferred 11 in it. Do you know what I mean? So they need to produce, I need to see more in it. Do you know what I mean? And hopefully I'll see more consistency from the younger guys as well up top. So, yeah, man. Need to get the win. There's just no excuse now. So you need to start racking up the points quickly. There's no fatigue. You've had a week off, brother. That's one of the things that actually jars me, you know. There's no Arsenal midweek, bro. We're just playing once a week, bro. You have to wait the whole week. So there's the team's fresh. Yeah, the team's fresh. Yeah. That's why I said I don't even want to see Tierney injured. Bro, you have 7 days off, bro. Well, yeah, obviously not 7 days, but you have, do you know what I mean? You've got ample time recovery between games. So let's go, man. Press them off the pitch.
It's a good opportunity for us to obviously move up the table, and you know, with despite our poor start, you know, a ridiculously poor start, losing three games in a bounce, we're in 10th, we're 4 points behind fourth place, 5 points off the leaders. You know, I didn't really, after losing your first three games, I didn't really envisage being that close to them. Maybe three games later. I didn't really see us getting 9 points from the next three games, actually. So it's quite, you know, I'm not going to say it's impressive that we've done that, because, you know, if you're going to do anything this season, you have to go on runs like this. If you're going to be finishing the top six, you're going to have to win some games. So, yeah, man, we need to continue against Brighton. I think Brighton are...
Aren't they second? They're second. Sixth. Oh, are they? Okay.
Yeah, they're sixth because didn't they? They dropped points. They
would have gone top with a win. But they got a last minute draw when they were losing. So, but it's one of those things. Yeah, I think just naturally teams are going to drop points every week. I know people keep saying sometimes, "Oh, this year I think the top four will be strong," but it's just hard, man. The league, a lot of the floor of the league raises each season. Do you know what I mean? When you have teams like Villa, spending over 100 mil, like, bro, I keep saying every week, West Ham every week, and they seem to be handling the fact that they're in Europa as well and still picking up points in the league. So it's hard, man. There's just a lot of hard places to go, but I feel like us, we have a real benefit of playing once a week, which a lot of other teams don't. So that's why I'm quite harsh. I'm like, I don't want to hear any excuses, because you've got the benefit of the doubt, do you know what I mean? So you can afford consistency of lineup.
And also two teams that weren't doing particularly well finished above us last season in Leicester and Spurs. They haven't started the season that well either. So there's opportunities there, man. There's opportunities there. But anyway, when is the Brighton game? Is that on Saturday?
Saturday. 5:30 Saturday.
5:30 kickoff Saturday.
Yeah.
Well, listen, hopefully we get another win. That'll be four in a row, not including the cup competitions. I think a win puts us, to be honest, don't really send us that far up the table, but who cares about table at this juncture and this point of the season. But we'll be back with another patron straight after the game. So if you're interested in all of that, rather than waiting into the Thursday to get your fix, sign up to our patron. Leroy Shelm, thanks for joining me. You can go and get your sleep, your beauty sleep now, because I know you both work very, very hard. And tired, entertaining bro. The listeners. But yeah, we'll be back next week anyway with a normal podcast. Take it easy.
In a bit.
Peace.
It's got to 2-2, and we've still got more than half an hour to go. And here's Ozil. Lacazette. Ozil!
Go! Could it went left, but it went right. Could it went wrong, but it went right. Man could have had that fight, but I'm in walk on sight. Man had to drop that mind. You're not gonna spit this time. Trying to work with a good energy. Man trying to work with a bad man vibe. None of these guys can't do that.
It's amazing. It's Aaron Ramsey.
My shine. That's foul. Man,
that's the response of Arsenal.
Cross the line. Score for my team in the time I play. Where better know when man's
inside. Chelsea. Manchester City. Lost their focus in the joy of equalizing.
Sports Social Podcast Network.